Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yeah, and then all was well, and then a meteor hit, and it actually kind of just threw things out of whack. So that's, the AI had nothing to do with it. Loreboys here, establishing our new tribe after the downfall of mankind. I am All-Mother Peter O'Donohue, and I am joined by...
All-Stepsister James Miller.
All-Stuck-in-a-Dryer Ethan Palmer.
There we go.
don't set the tumble dry!
I would love to know how someone gets stuck in a dryer.
What do you mean?
Is it in the dust vent or like in the rotating chamber?
In the rotating chamber, you stick your whole head in it to get the clothes out.
I think it's in the interdimensional portal where all your second socks come like go missing.
Right. Do you guys think, and this is something that I've always thought, I think that a sock starts to come undone in the dryer, and once it does that, it just completely turns to lint. That's like my theory on what happens to socks.
Oh. Like when you have a hangnail and you just unravel all the skin down your entire knuckle. Like
exactly.
If you
pull it out. Exactly.
Like you're peeling an orange.
Yeah.
I mean, yes. Yeah. Yeah. The spiral tangerine skin is the easiest way to get it off those tiny oranges. You just take the whole thing off like a spring and then you're good.
Yeah.
My dryer lint is always so much because I have a dog that sheds so much. Like it when it like puffs out as soon as I take it out. Like it's too much for the little thing.
Yeah. I mean, your dog sheds a lot.
Yeah. So today's request comes at us hot from a guy we banned off Discord, Thomas the Dank Engine, and sweet sexy patron Bray. And as you can see by the title, we're doing Horizon Zero Dawn, baby.
Did we ban somebody recently off Discord? We don't have to get into this, but...
No, I mean, we did it once, and he had requested it a long time ago to do Horizon Zero Dawn. And, I mean, honestly, Broken Clock's right twice a day, so I thought it was a good request, and then it got backed up by two other guys as well.
There you go.
Yeah. So of the under 10 games on PS4 that I've actually played, the only one that I've enjoyed completely has been Horizon Zero Dawn. I fucking love it. It pissed me off a lot that it came out on Steam and GOG, because it kind of made my PS4 a complete fucking waste. Even though, like, I had money to spare at the time, it was just like, cool.
I mean, so many people got upset when it came out on PC, and I was very happy because I don't own any PlayStation products, and I was like, yeah, I want to play that, so I bought it recently. But also, like, I still really want to play God of War, and I still really want to play The Last of Us 2, and I can't play either of those games, so, like, fucking... Cry me some lube, fucking gamers. Jesus.
Yeah.
Let me play a game, Peter.
It is so fucking stupid when it comes out like years later and people get all fucking butthurt about it. Cause like for me, the only reason like I know now that I don't need a PS4 is because I've played multiple PlayStation games and not really enjoyed a ton of them, except for Horizon, which kicks like all the ass on the planet. Mm. But now that it's on fucking PC and my PC is obviously stronger than a PlayStation, I was like, what would I have wasted that $4 on otherwise? Probably like 80 beers, but
Steam
whatever.
Deck.
No. No, I don't play on the go. Dog, I can't even get through an hour-long podcast anymore. Like, I just don't have any travel time. Like, I'm just gonna lie on the floor and play my PC games at 30 frames per second.
I don't know, dude. I love the portable stuff. Like, ever since I was a kid playing, like, Game Boy in my bed or whatever, like, I love having something where I don't have to be at a desk to play, where I can just...
Jamie's a big pillow fort and poop on the toilet kind of guy.
Yes,
exactly.
Where I like to get mine all out in, like, one flex. And then I have down pillows, so they make a poor support beams for a pillow fort. So,
yeah, I mean, I'm not on the toilet long enough to enjoy mobile games. Like, I like chess puzzles or just like simple word puzzles if I'm sitting down, because it's just like you bang a couple out in the 45 seconds that I'm there, and I just like,
yeah,
get one or two done.
I'm a fast pooper. Yeah, I don't do much gaming on the toilet, but anyways.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I don't do any. I'm like kind of with Peter where I don't do any mobile gaming like at all. I also don't know why. I did like Game Boy as a kid. I still love Fire Emblem, but there's just something about like being in public transit or something like that, where like I feel like I can never get comfortable enough to game, as stupid as that sounds, where I'm just like, I would really want to be like wrapped up and cozy, which like if I'm wrapped up and cozy, I'm at home and I'm probably sitting on my couch, so I'm just gonna put it on the TV, you know.
Yeah, I beat the Mantis Lords in Hollow Knight in a shoulder to shoulder packed metro ride.
Just like getting your sweat all over the two people next to you.
Yeah, exactly.
I wonder if those people were entertained.
You get everyone's familiar, you get like a little kid who pulls up next to you and he's like obviously watching, and I'll lean the screen over and like, yeah, check it out, dude.
That's good. Yeah,
I will
big brother energy.
I will say I'm pretty unabashed. I will watch somebody's screen. If they're playing a game, I will just sit there and stare at their screen. I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm listening to a podcast, you're playing a video game, I'm just gonna like have my eyes do something while my ears do something else. Like,
yeah.
And then I disassociate and wake up at work, essentially.
Or you disassociate for 8 more hours.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Boy, I wish, huh?
So, Horizon was developed by Guerrilla Games, the same people who made Killzone. Which we have already covered.
Helgast and Bernstein.
By the way, I've played this game a lot. Like, I platinumed it on PS4, and I don't even own it. I borrowed it, and I platinumed it in, like, a week. I just got, like, so into it, and I love it.
Shit. Yeah, I was going to ask you guys your experience, but Ethan, you've already said you just bought it, but have not played it, correct?
Yeah, I bought it several months ago because I was playing Mass Effect, the Mass Effect series, and I knew I was moving, and I knew my internet was uncertain while I moved. So I was like, I need games to play offline because EA are shitbags, and Mass Effect, although an offline-only game, you can't play offline. You need to sign into EA Origin. So I was like, I know I need to buy some offline games. So I bought Cyberpunk and I bought Horizon Zero Dawn. I ended up starting with Cyberpunk. So I've been kind of just like slowly getting through that. Although now I own Mario Odyssey. So I've been slowly getting through that as well. I'll get to Horizon eventually. It's sitting in my Steam backlog right now.
There you go. It's very, very good.
I have not platinumed it. I fucking love it. But I finished the base game, which is excellent. And then I'm on the DLC. At first, I was just like, because again, I don't really play my PlayStation. I was like, God damn, I guess I'll just never fucking finish that. But after writing this script, I was just like, no, Peter, just like sit down, put the 10 remaining hours into this over the course of the next couple days and just do it. Because a lot of the shit I read today was like, oh, yeah, that is really cool. The game is still the game is as good as I remember, apparently. So Horizon takes place in the United States of America. The game kicks off around 3023, but there is a time jump in the intro, then so the rest of the game takes place mainly in 3040. Okay. The game is set in the post-apocalypse, which I believe is what the genre is, where the world as we know it is long gone, but it's been so long that it's been reclaimed by nature and people that like take what was left behind and have like rebuilt. Kind of very simple societies ranging from small hunter-gatherer tribes all the way up to something kind of comparable to ancient Egypt. You've got, like, the Temple of the Sun King, which is probably the biggest city in the game, I believe. I don't remember what the city's called exactly, but that's kind of
Meridian. I think it's Meridian.
Yeah, exactly. And the king there is a Sun King, and that's, like, kind of like ancient Egypt. You've got, like, stone bazaars and tents and whatnot.
If they have a Sun King, wouldn't it be more like, I don't know, 16th century France?
It's like set in like a very Egypt-y place, I guess. Did France worship the sun?
No, they had Louis XIV was known as the Sun King. It's a bit of real world lore for you guys.
There you go. Yeah.
And not his son, but his son's son was beheaded at the Bastille.
Oh, really? Yeah. During the Revolution?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe we should just do France instead.
Louis XVI was married to Marie Antoinette, who famously said,
"Let them eat cake."
Yeah.
Let the meat cake?
Let the meat cake.
Yeah, she invented heavy metal, so she just like came on stage and after a sick breakdown was just like, let the meat cake! And then like windmilled her giant beehive wig.
Louis XIV, the Sun King, popularized wigs because syphilis was rampant at the time, and one of the symptoms of syphilis is you go bald. So Louis XIV probably had syphilis, was going bald, and just had a bunch of expensive wig makers make them wigs and popularize wigs up to
now. So you could give other people.
Yeah, the reason bald people wear wigs now is probably because of Louis XIV made it popular at the time, hiding your shame of being bald because you had syphilis.
Instead of just like being a guy and your testosterone killing your hair or whatever
exactly,
the fuck.
Yeah. Being too manly for hair.
Yeah, I don't even know what causes it, but I had heard somewhere that it's just like, yeah, when you get older, your testosterone like gets fucked up and kills your hair for some reason. I was like, yeah. Whatever, fine.
I heard higher
tea
people.
Why drink soy milk is to keep this up.
Yeah. Higher tea people, I think, do have more balding issues, which is why I will always have hair. But
I drink soy milk. Say, to be
happily
a
at the bottom of that. Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, you're great.
For Horizon, like, you can picture, like, these cool mechanical ruins just, like, covered in a new layer of grass. So, like, every once in a while, you can, like, look down a hole and see, like, all these mechanical stuff, like, of an age-long past. And it's basically magic to these people because they don't know technology anymore. It was, like, a reset.
And I will explain why they don't know what's going on as well. So, you've got humans with their kind of... I guess like that's kind of antiquity. Is it before the Bronze Age with Egyptian society, like the peak of it?
Yeah, Bronze Age would be like Greece, probably.
Yeah, so kind of
there was an overlap with Egypt because Egypt ran like the Egyptian civilization ran for 5,000 years or whatever. An unimaginable length of time to modern day lens. But they were for sure like Stone Age into Bronze Age, probably.
Okay, yeah. So it's kind of that level of technology. At the top of the food chain, however, in Horizon, are things that are probably not edible at all. They're not really part of the food chain, really. The Earth is now populated by various, I would say, in quotes, species, although I guess you could call them like models of beast-like machines, which they're pretty much the most iconic things from the game. They are. You can tell that it's from Guerrilla because if you look at a lot of the sci-fi technology in Horizon, it looks copy-pasted in some cases just from Killzone 3. Like the same artists are obviously still employed at the company. And I remember watching the NoClip documentary where they explain, like, someone just created a mechanical T-Rex and we decided to just build an entire
game about it. What's amazing about that is that it turned out to be such a good game, especially narratively speaking. And again, I haven't played it, but just having heard you guys talk about it so much, because I avoid people who, like, streamers that I like, they're like, I'm playing Horizon. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to watch you play because I want it to be, like, an experience. I've seen Jamie play maybe, like, 15 minutes, but it sounds like a very narrative-driven game, which is, like, amazing that they could come up with just, like, it's the sign of a good company and good writers that you can come up with, like, a really obscure concept art and just build a game around that, right?
And yes, the pivot, what I really admire.
The pivot too from playing like making an FPS game into like a third person story adventure game with like complete shift in like from Hellgast and all those boys to this like pretty lush world with like old tribes and stuff. And they did such a good. It blew me away.
It's like truly a remarkable game. I'm not a big fan of open world games anymore these days, but the side quest content in this game is just good enough to keep me going. However, the plot and the art direction really, really carried it for me because it was just like every time you like find a new thing, it's just like, oh my god, this entire like hollowed out mountain is like a machine factory, and you're just like, but I'm still technically a cave girl walking through something that looks like it was built 12,000 years in our future.
Yeah.
And it's like this great artistic fusion of like tribal and sci-fi all done really well. And I love it. It's just like, like how are we going to explain robot T-Rex? And here we go.
The quest design too, to me, is really good because it starts off like your world is so small and your world gets bigger and bigger. And they do a really good job of like incrementally making it bigger until you see the full picture. And also, like, the quests, I'm, like, being kind of, like, a person who I get FOMO, like, I'm worried about missing stuff. You're going to see where the quests are, you can hit all of it, the progression through your weapons and items upgrading is, like, super intuitive, you're not going to miss anything, but if you just continue playing the game, you'll feel yourself grow and get through different stuff. Anyways, I could gush about the game for hours.
We will. That's the point of this episode.
Yeah, exactly. We have at least an hour to do it, right?
So all these machines exhibit different programming or behaviors. And all of them have kind of goofy Land Before Time-esque names, like a Tall Neck or a Snap Maw, because a lot of knowledge was lost, but because of where the kind of game is set, all of the more tribal humans still speak English, so they, I guess, just assembled these words and to just to kind of like vaguely describe the machine that they're looking at.
I feel like this is something that I've probably brought up on the show before too, but like when watching fantasy or sci-fi or whatever and people are speaking English, it's not that they're speaking English a lot of the time, it's just like hey, we need a medium to deliver it to you people, and people don't like subtitles, so they put everything in English, which is fine, but like the suspension of disbelief is they're speaking their primitive tongue, which is definitely like reborn from nothing and not English at all in any kind of sense of the word root. But
but that's actually not true in Horizon. They are just straight up speaking English.
But not changed at all. I mean, come on. A thousand years?
It has not. It hasn't changed at all for some reason. But like, we'll get into like the restoration of the Earth.
Okay.
And not to cut you off again, but there's all these mechanical monsters and dragons and stuff. Not dragons, mostly dinosaurs. But there are like a few actual real animals, like chickens, pigs, turkeys, and one other
foxes.
Foxes. Yeah. And there's a holodeck in the game that explains why that is. So it's canon why there's only four animals, which I think is really, really cool.
Noah got lazy, is all the holodeck says.
So many of the machines are based on dinosaurs and megafauna. Megafauna is the catch-all term for ancient mammals and birds that predated but did not outlast humanity. We did coexist with certain species of megafauna for a period of time, like woolly mammoths,
the giant
some species of saber-toothed cats, big sloths.
If you guys want like a trip, look up giant sloth tunnels, and you'll see people standing in tunnels that giant sloths used to carve in South America, and it's wild.
It's scary.
And a lot of the megafauna went extinct at the end of the last ice age, because a lot of them were very much adapted for a cold environment, and as the Earth started to warm up about like 10,000-11,000 years ago, a lot of them died out, including the mammoths, the rhinos, and then the saber-toothed cats, as well as like some of the larger species of bear. Also, humanity was evolving around this time, and cavemen were turning into more complex tribal societies, and as we know, humanity is quite dangerous if you let us, you know, get going. Yeah. So we kind of snowballed out of the Ice Age and took over, so a lot of these larger megafauna are extinct now.
I was reading that there is like a couple megafauna left. Like there is one, I think it's your mom.
What's great about that joke is that Peter's mom is so fat, you know? Having never met the woman and heard only lovely things about her, just in case you listen to the show, I ever do meet her.
She is not heavy at all, though. She's like 5'5", and I think like 130 pounds, little lady.
Wow. Doxed.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Got her. So prior to the game itself, history progressed pretty much exactly like our own up until Christmas Eve 2013, which we all remember, when Ted Farrow was born. So that's F-A-R-O.
Okay.
Now, it does stand to reason that in our own 2013, someone named Ted Farrow was also born somewhere. This means the timeline splitting here is Loreboy's canon, since there may be a real 8-year-old Ted Farrow out in the world right now. Maybe he's listening to this show because his parents aren't paying attention to what he's doing with the iPad.
Yeah, if you're 8 years old and your name is Ted Farrow and you're listening to the show right now, go up to your parents, go up to your mom, and look at how fat she is.
Hey! Yeah. Got him.
Got him. Got that stupid 8-year-old. 8-year-old.
Yeah.
Yeah. From playing the game, he deserves it.
Yeah. On March 11th, 2020, right before we all started working from home, actually, because I started working from home on the 13th, Elizabeth Sobeck was born. And maybe her real-world counterpart's parents listen to this show right now, considering at this point she would be a year and a half old.
Can we say that's the Loreboy's canon sequel to That's a Raven? That's Sobeck?
Yes. You may, yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Established.
And it's just a continuation of that show where Elizabeth Sobeck was Raven psychic, but only sort of?
Yeah, exactly. So I
she'd get like a look in her eye, and then she would see like 30 minutes into the future, and then basically her trying to prevent the future would also make her fall into the future.
Yeah, would always cause it.
Right, right.
So I think that we're actually saying this is canonically the sequel to Cory in the House, which was the sequel to That's So Raven, right?
Was he not recently arrested?
Yeah, he's Cory in the Big House now. Got him.
Very good. I'd not heard this, but maybe.
Yeah.
What for, I don't know what it was. I ask?
I don't remember. I just remember that was
Peter.
Like
did you even research this episode?
Yeah.
What the hell, dude? Like, don't even know what Cory in the House was arrested for.
Elizabeth Sobeck would eventually write Cory in the House, the sequel series, thus leading to the destruction of humanity.
Gotcha.
I remember liking Elizabeth a lot and not liking Ted a lot. So that's
really what you're supposed to feel, sort of. I mean, there's some amoral things for both of them, but we'll.
I'm glad we're gonna get to meet these people because this was 1,000 years before the games took place, and I said, "Well, these are just like we're just setting it up now." But
yep, yeah, exactly.
In the actual game, there's a lot of spoilies. Like back and forth. Like you play from the perspective of Aloy discovering the deep, deep, deep past, and like figuring out how to fix the future. That's kind of the
I had to leave out a lot of the game because having Aloy as your POV character, she has her own personality, but as far as discovering the world goes, she might as well be a blank slate, which works really fucking well. So there is going to be a lot of shit missing here just because it's like I'm not going to do the entire plot of the game because arguably the entire plot of the game is just a Lore Boys episode explaining why Aloy is there in the first place.
Yeah.
Don't want to ruin that sense of wonder. That what's part of what makes the game so good is like finding that next step and that next step. So
And especially because it, like you were saying, the way the world kind of opens up is wild as well. They did such a good job. Anyway,
it's what's put me off for so long from doing a Dune episode, which I'll do someday, which is just like it was this sense of wonder I had when I was reading the first book, but I haven't seen the movie, so I'd love to watch the movie and then actually do a proper episode or the original movie. The second one's coming out October 1st on Jamie's birthday, I believe.
Hell yeah, dude. We'll show up to your party afterwards, Jamie. Ethan and I got some shit to do first. Ted Farrow's life proceeded very much like any idiot who would give a TED talk, no pun intended, where he enrolled to UCLA and dropped out after 2 years to found Farrow Automated Solutions, or FAS, in 2033. Didn't realize I would be covering that year so much recently, but okay. So, like a lot of motivational speakers or whatever, he would probably just get up there and tell you to drop out of university and and make your own company sort of shit. So
what you're gonna want to do is buy a turtleneck and a blazer, okay?
Yeah.
What you got going on down bottom? Jeans, baby. All denim.
Yeah. Yep.
All denim.
Yeah.
Then what you want to do is borrow $300,000 from your parents.
Yeah.
And then you know what? You're a businessman.
Yeah. The road to success is paved with hard work and a generous loan of $3 million from your parents who own an apartheid-era emerald mine in South Africa. Okay? It's easy. Anybody can do it.
Pull yourself up by your bootstraps.
He has a lot. I didn't write it in because I felt that was too obvious. Ted Farrow and Elon Musk have a lot in common.
I mean,
from like, from like a crossover tech billionaire supervillain standpoint.
It's so strange how Elon Musk has so much in common with so many of these fictional tech billionaires.
These sci-fi supervillain tech billionaires, So he founds FAS in 2033. FAS struggled for the first few years of the 2030s, but eventually found success with their lines of servitor and bodyguard robots. As well as their mobile device, which is called the Focus, which kind of looks like a fancy Bluetooth earpiece. Nothing is cooler than looking like a taxi driver from 2007, obviously.
Clear. It's like a Dragon Ball Z scanner, kind of.
It is, yeah. You get one in-game. Aloy uses it. It's your detective vision, basically. It's just like... It's a Bluetooth scanner that can highlight interactables in the in the environment. So, like, if you're ever confused at home... You can hit your Focus and see the things around your house that are able to be picked up. I guess is a pitch for that.
But nobody else has one really until much later in the game, I guess, where it's just one person who has it.
I love the DBZ scanner reference. Thinking about like back in 2035s or 2040s of the timeline, where just a bunch of tech billionaires standing around with them like, oh my god, his inheritance, it's over 9 million.
FAS really took off during a multitude of environmental crises in the 2030s and 40s. The Portuguese Azores and New Zealand would both be submerged into the ocean due to rising sea levels. So,
you know it's a supervillain, much like modern day, when things are going so bad for the world, and it's just like, they really thrived in this time. You know, like, yeah. they really succeeded financially when the world was dying. Is like a pretty good marker of
some parallels to COVID there, right?
Like, yeah, exactly.
A bunch of billionaires got real rich when all of us had to stay at home.
All the billionaires got rich while people were evicted from their homes. So
yeah. Oh no, they got 90 more days, dude. They can totally make, I would say, I don't know, what, 5 months back rent in 90 days.
It took me like 3 weeks to secure a loan from my parents who owned an apartheid era emerald mine in that time. Like, come on. What are you doing?
Well, emeralds are an essential business, is emeralds.
Yeah, obviously. Exactly. Emerald mining is an essential business.
All those guys already wear masks. It's totally safe.
I love the idea of them having like the industrial mask, but then
the mask over it.
Mask on top. Yeah.
It's just for the cameras. Don't worry about it. So the Portuguese Azores and New Zealand would sink into the ocean due to rising sea levels. This is pretty cool. There's a holographic map that you can see in like the gameplay demo for Horizon 2, which just recently got delayed, that shows Florida is thankfully gone. And then an inland sea has kind of poured into California. And one of the things I noticed, because I paused it when I was rewatching the trailer, I was like, oh, cool. Maybe I'll add a little bit like speculative lore boys fanfic on this one. And what's so fucking funny, I think it's either probably an artistic oversight, because no one gives a shit about Canada outside of Canada. Canada on that holographic map is there and is completely fine. It's just like, oh yeah, Florida sank into the ocean. California is fucked up because those are two places in the US that are full of people. Canada, totally fine. I'll have you know the entire country is above sea level, so don't worry about global warming at all. like literally untouched, totally okay. And then that's what I like. I didn't check the South American part there, but I thought it was pretty neat.
I mean, Well, I don't want to get it. I was going to start getting into climate change, but let's not do it now.
there's enough. It's bad. There's enough in this episode.
It's bad.
Still bad. Absolutely. Still bad.
Yeah, there's definitely a through line into humanity destroying itself in both the game and our real life.
Yeah, well, that's it.
Yeah.
Canada won't be affected by rising sea levels, but there's going to be a lot of other problems with climate change.
Oh, yeah. So, Pharaoh hired Elizabeth Sobeck that we mentioned earlier in 2040 after she completed her PhD in robotics and artificial intelligence design at the Carnegie Mellon University, which is real. It's in Philadelphia, I believe. He was impressed by her work on environmental or green robotics. So he is very much one of those billionaires that's just like out to save the world, man.
Did she work? Robotics, artificial intelligence design is RAID, like RAID Shadow Legends.
Oh,
which,
shit.
By the way, you can pick up on your phone right now.
Yeah.
If you thought the graphics in Horizon were good, check out RAID Shadow Legends, because they're pretty much at the same console level.
Yeah. type in promo code LOREBALLS and be disappointed when it does nothing. What would be great is if in the future we ever do get sponsored by Raid Shadow Legends and we have to go back and stitch in a Raid Shadow Legends commercial to this episode, would be fantastic.
I have heard that they do not listen to your show and pay up front. So I would totally take the Raid dollars and then just do what fucking one.
We need more listeners like that, to be honest.
Pay up front. So, Pharaoh and Sobeck, the pair, had hoped to use these green machines, basically, to clean up and detoxify the planet before things got worse for humanity in the 2040s. These machines were designed to collect, process, and transport material. Like a big fleet of aquatic machines, for example, that could swim around and process away Garbage Island, and then just, like, bring it back and, you know, get rid of it safely, basically.
Sure.
this can be seen in game where the machines seem to be eating or grazing, because you've got like some that look like deer or like cows or the giant rhinoceros ones, basically, that are all kind of consuming material for some reason, which I will get into. But this is what they were designed to do, is collect and process material.
Okay.
Yeah. The machines would be one aspect of the clawback, where governments and organizations began to quickly cooperate to clean up the planet and prevent a full environmental collapse, which frankly is the least believable thing in this game beyond robot Tyrannosaurus. One of the projects that Pharaoh secretly invested in was was called Project Firebrick. Firebrick successfully stabilized the volcano underneath Yellowstone National Park, as well as bringing picnic baskets back to Jellystone, which had gone extinct prior to this due to environmental problems.
That's great for the bears.
It was, yeah. Mm-hmm. This was estimated to keep the volcano stable for 1,665 years. Don't know why they were so specific. However, at the time of the game's DLC, the Firebrick project is still running under the watch of an AI called Cyan, like the color.
I was listening to a video today, and it terrified me. Apparently, Venus used to be like similar to Earth, yep, but like 10 degrees hotter. But then, like, somehow they theorize all the volcanoes went off at once and put enough carbon dioxide into the air that it just turned into this, like, gassy, acidic, like, awful nightmare.
Venus really is literally, if climate change goes unabated, we turn into Venus. That's like, we know that'll happen. Yeah. We've known that'll happen since the 1940s, and we've done nothing to stop it.
If something big enough hits us, like some meteor that somehow passed all of everything and gave enough force into the Earth and set off, like, a few of the volcanoes on the opposite side of the planet, that could do it, too.
Yep. That, I think, happened. There's like the Great Dying is the largest extinction event in Earth's history.
It's the fastest.
It was something like 96% of all life in the ocean was killed, and it was due to like a big chunk of what would become Russia like blew up and acidified the oceans.
So, what scares? I thought like a nuclear holocaust or something like that could happen, or like a big old earthquake. Or there's a lot of stuff that could wipe us out. I didn't think volcanoes was on the list, but it is too.
They've got a higher body count than a lot of those other things.
It really peaked, troughed, and peaked. You know what I mean? It made a canyon, because when I was in kindergarten, I was convinced that volcanoes were going to be a serious threat to my life. Much like quicksand, I was convinced that volcanoes, when I grew up, would be a day-to-day problem for me. That that really dipped, you know, as I got older. I was like, volcanoes, that never happens to anyone, ever. And then when you start learning about climate change, things like that, you're like, oh, no, volcanoes, very bad. Could be very bad. Very bad. I mean, volcanoes bad. I think we can agree as a collective.
And there's literally nothing we can do to stop them, because it is just the mantle of the Earth forcing its way up through the crust.
Yeah, saying enough.
Dude,
enough.
Fuck dieting. Fuck cutting down on drinking, dude. We're going out somehow. I'm just I'm doubling down.
Yeah, exactly. I should drink more, since I know the volcanoes will kill me one day.
Yeah, because if they kill me halfway through, then that's like I just prevented myself from having fun for the first half of my life. You know
exactly.
What I mean?
Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's opportunity cost.
Project Firebrick did do some good. It was not just a vanity project. Yellowstone was developed into a massive green energy geothermal plant, which gave free green energy to all of North America, which again is very much like a thing that I just cannot believe would ever actually happen.
Yeah, no, not real.
You know, there'd still be people in Texas like fucking using diesel engines stuff just because they had
get your damn soy powered green energy out my truck, okay?
Like the last gas powered car on the road, like half as fast as all the other ones.
Twice as proud though, brother.
Yeah, hell yeah, dude. The park was closed off after they turned it into a power plant. And this led to some presumably excellent conspiracy theories that people on Facebook got way too into. Like a fucking sex cult in Yellowstone that made the pronghorns gay. Or something like that.
Turn the picnic baskets gay.
All the picnics are so gay.
I could go for a gay picnic right now. That sounds nice.
Yeah, dude. So that's a decent episode title. All of this gave Pharaoh the nickname of the man who saved the world, which isn't really super creative, so it probably came from a newspaper or something.
Yeah, no, H.G. Wells rose from the dead to give him this title.
The man who saved the world.
The man who saved the world. when H.G. Wells wrote his biopic in 2080.
In 2048, Pharaoh wept as he looked out and saw that there was no more global warming to conquer. So he diversified his portfolio and included military hardware.
Hell yeah.
Because maybe we weren't killing the planet anymore, but God willing, we were still killing each other. Yeah. And I was going to help. it's a pretty hot and cold resume, too. He's like this bloodthirsty hippie where he's just like, I need to save the world. And then just saw another opportunity that, like, well, obviously that wouldn't stop war. So now he wants to get into, like, the army after he got bored with... cured recycling,
I mean,
basically.
That's
and now he's a warlord.
That's literally the problem that we have right now, where baby boomers grew up in the Woodstock era, missed Woodstock, peace, love, and drugs, got to the 80s, cocaine was the drug when they were old enough to start businesses, did a bunch of cocaine, started businesses, and now we end up with the companies that we have today who just have no corporate responsibility or social responsibility or anything like that. So...
the green energy, is that specified what the green energy is that we had at Yellowstone Park? Is that
geothermal?
Biomass?
It's geothermal. No, it's geothermal. My dad had one in his house. He sold that house now, but he had a geothermal pipe.
It's a big house to have Yellowstone Park in there. Wow.
Yeah. Yellowstone's supermassive volcano was located entirely in Pete's bedroom.
Wow. My dad lived above a volcano in rural Ontario, obviously.
Didn't have to pay for heating, yeah.
No, well, actually, it was really cool. The geothermal thing kind of maintained us at, like, 22 Celsius at all times. Yeah. So he had central AC, but we barely used it. So you never had to buy oil, nothing like that. Yeah. There was, like, just, like, a really long tube of fluid that went straight down into the ground, and it would maintain the temperature in the house.
My university had it, too. It was really cool.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. But it was geothermal in Yellowstone, so... Basically, you just have a bunch of like infinite steam plants to give energy to the North American continent.
Cool.
So Elizabeth was not pleased with the shift of FAS to military hardware after they got bored with recycling.
Fair.
She resigned and founded her own robotics company called Miriam Technologies. Pharaoh's company did what the big business company would always do and basically just whipped frivolous lawsuits at her company's wall forever to see what would stick.
These are like longtime colleagues, too. Yeah. What a dick move, man.
I know.
The Disney approach, right?
Pretty much.
It's like if you had a real-life tech billionaire and you had, let's say, I don't know, for example, some people trying to save... a bunch of children trapped in a cave somewhere, and that tech billionaire went on Twitter to call the people trying to save those children a pedophile for no reason or based in nothing. That's kind of like a strange example that you might imagine.
I didn't know that happened.
Yeah, Elon Musk called
Did he
help in the end?
No. He proposed building a submarine to navigate a cave. The head of the rescue operation said that is a dumb idea. And Elon Musk clapped back with, "Well, you're a pedophile." So that's the reality.
What a world we fucking live in, man.
That's a paraphrase, but it's absolutely exactly what happened.
Oh my god.
That's the Lore Boys episode about that entire fucking ordeal. the military line of machines would be called the Chariot line. The three subclasses in the line were Scarabs, Kopeshes, and Horuses. You do fight them in the game. They are the enemies, but they're now known as Corruptors, Deathbringers, and the Metal Devil, respectively. Yes, Ethan.
Well, I mean, the original names are very ancient Egypt, and you guys were drawing lines to ancient Egypt at the top of the show with the City Meridian. So I just wanted to see if that's like a direct line that the City Meridian gets based on Ted Pharaoh's naming conventions of early machinery, or is just like a nice like parallel in the narrative.
Ancient Egypt and Greece are big naming devices in-game, considering that Elizabeth Sobek's name is Sobek, which is an Egyptian god, and Ted Pharaoh's last name is Pharaoh.
Is that Greek?
Pharaoh is the kings of Egypt.
Oh, Pharaoh like that. I was thinking F-A-R-O for whatever
reason. It is written that way, but phonetically it is still Pharaoh.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point. It didn't even occur to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, the Egypt place is in the sand biome. So they gotta get Egypt names there.
Yeah, Meridian is in the sand biome.
There's like grass, then like snow, then sand, and like some other ones. So I guess
You said Horus, Scarab, and what was the other one?
Kopesh, which I think are swords.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a hook sword, I think it's a Kopesh.
Yeah, Kopesh. Horus is a god, I think.
Yeah.
Kopesh is the hook sword. Horus is god of the falcon-headed god. Horus is the son of Osiris and Isis.
They all look like robots, but with guns.
Yeah.
Ooh, isn't that fun? Yeah.
So these ones do not really look like animals because they were designed prior to the end of the world. Corruptors, which are the scarabs, they're large. They're about as tall as a telephone pole. They're not huge. They scuttle around on four legs, and they're armed with a whip-like tail and multiple guns. Deathbringers are also quadrupedal. However, they're pretty much just like this big kind of rectangular box covered in guns.
It's wall-to-wall missiles. Like,
exactly. Yeah.
It's like in Final Fantasy VII when you fight just the wall that has a dragon head on it.
Yeah.
I haven't played that. I'll take your word for it.
At one point, you just fight a wall. And it's got at one point early in the first disc, you fight a house. And I think at the end of at the end of the second disc, you fight just a wall.
Okay.
Yeah, also you fight like a fat man named Palmer, and once you beat him, he runs away, and you think he's gonna run away, but then a bus comes and he just gets hit by a fucking bus.
The metal devil just looks like a gigantic lobster the size of a mountain. That's the Horus. Officially.
Okay. That would be a Fragile Sharks mech if he was playing Battletech or Mech Warrior, excuse me. And these
the crab.
Possible choices.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. The Scarabs and Kopeshes would kind of like swarm enemies. The enemies of whoever was controlling them, of course. All the while they'd be maintained by a Horus, and the Horus is kind of like a mobile factory where it would be able to repair and replace damaged units or just build new ones kind of on site. The Horus can still move. It moves around like a big... It looks like a sea scorpion, might be a little abstract for people, but they're very, very ancient arthropods that like predate life on land. They were like the first apex predators on the planet.
So it's a robot army that can self-reproduce and can self-repair and has a mind of its own. You might see where this is going.
And then all was well, and then a meteor hit, and that actually kind of just threw things out of whack. So the AI had nothing to do with it. Pharaoh wanted the machines to be able to learn, so he wanted them to learn tactics, Pornhub recommendations, pretty much anything like that.
Sure, the Google algorithm.
He also wanted them to stay green, because Pharaoh still cared about the environment, despite the fact that he was building machines to kill people.
I mean, fair.
Okay. Yeah.
Fair.
The machines would use a process called biomatter conversion, which is what Jamie was talking about earlier, meaning they could consume and convert any kind of organic matter, plant, animal, alive, dead, and then convert it to energy and fuel. This is, again, the eating that I was talking about that the machines do in the game.
For a killing machine, that is very green, right? Kill a human, eat the human. Empower yourself to kill the next human and eat him. That's infinite energy right there.
Except for
all these damn humans eating hamburger patties and destroying the environment to get their cows grown up, you know? That's the problem.
I mean, if you just eat all the cows and all the organic material in the soil, and then the person, technically you can just get it all. You don't even need to turn the cow into a burger, because that wastes time and thermal energy, if you think about it. The cooking is a waste.
Greenest possible outcome. Greenest possible outcome.
Yeah. Is just to convert everything directly into energy, opposed to cooking or harvesting or growing things.
What we do is convert food into energy. And the reason, or one of the reasons why humans became exploded evolutionarily like 200,000 years ago is because we developed fire, which allowed us to cook. And what cooking does is reduce the calories needed to break down the calories in food. So we used to be, the return on food of eating raw meat is very low, but if you cook it, your body breaks it down very easily, but it has most of the calories anyway. So cooking it is actually more fuel efficient than not cooking it. But yeah. Emissions-wise, cooking is worse.
Yeah. These machines never need to worry about that, because they can convert anything and everything biological just into fuel. And this, like I said, was the this is the kind of eating thing that a lot of the machines do in the game, is they are converting biomass into energy.
They just top it up. They're just at the gas station. They're just topping it off, you know?
Yeah, exactly. They're just grazing. They're just shredding all the grass, and that's what it is. In-game, they return the energy. They turn it into something called Blaze. At least that's what it's referred to. And they bring it back to the machine factories, which are called Cauldrons. So the machines are just still self-replicating in-game, and that's why they eat, in quotes, is to use the biomatter conversion to have fuel and resources for the factories to make more machines.
And Cauldrons, in the much, much later time when you play the game, are actually locations you can visit and have to fight certain enemies, and you get certain rewards from it and stuff
yes.
like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What's a big problem with robots and AI? They get hacked, right? You don't want the fucking Twitter bots to troll your kill machines.
What I like about humans is that they're unswayable and they can never be hacked. You can never tell them a piece of information, true or otherwise, and change their opinion on stuff. You know, like, it's not like Facebook could ever show a post and that would make somebody react a certain way. People are going to act only the way that they would ever act normally. That's
machines are immune to fake news, I'll have you know. and to further solidify their fake news defenses, the machines were encrypted with a virtually unbreakable code called the polyphasic entangled waveform.
Okay, very sci-fi.
Yeah, I know. It Horizon Zero Dawn is just a bunch of random sci-fi words, and the polyphasic entangled waveform, again, random sci-fi words. Like, yeah. These guys were just playing Boggle when they were like, how do we explain the robot T-Rex, guys? And just like, rattle. Horizon Zero Dawn, good. What? How does it think? Rattle. Polyphasic entangled waveform. Boom, good. Writer's room over. Do all the cocaine, get the fuck out. This made the machines completely impossible to shut down or control remotely by anyone except the guys who had paid for the CD key, basically. So you could not hack it unless you had
the kill switch. Yeah.
The kill switch, exactly. Yeah. That kept them safe and kept the machines under control. Thankfully, military robots that can't be shut down are perfect. So the Hartz Timor Energy Combine bought up a whole heap of these machines. Throughout the Chariot line, they bought multiple of every model of the three. This was a collaboration between the East Timorese government. East Timor is a real country north of Australia, I believe, and the Hartz Corporation, which is just an American energy corporation that was made for the fiction, but you can imagine it's basically any kind of energy corporation that maybe wanted to buy a military. I can't imagine
what that would be like. It's unimaginable. Yeah.
In October 2064, the Hartz Timor Chariots got a little aggressive with their biomatter conversion, and a Horus was seen swimming around in the ocean just devouring dolphins.
That's my favorite holodeck in the whole game.
It's so fucked up. Yeah,
like they explain it to you, and then you're like really thinking, this is like the beginning before anything really goes wrong, and there's just like these robots just turning dolphins into a pink mist off the beach, you know? Like, yeah. People are like, well, I don't know if that's supposed to be happening, you know?
I don't know if that's good. I don't know. You know, I'm starting to think that tech billionaire didn't have the world's best interests in mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very much one of those, just like, it's one of those, like, self-driving car runs down 12 pedestrians sort of thing that we're gonna hear about, is very much what Jabe was saying, just like, that's odd. I trust him, though. He's got some memeable tweets every once in a while. we'll let him keep doing what he's doing.
Oh my god, he smoked weed on the Joe Rogan Experience. I mean, he's got to be a good guy.
I mean, let's see. It's if someone could find out how old Joe Rogan is now, find out how old he would be in 2064, please.
Well, he's on the right he's on the right supplements. So.
Exactly. Yeah, Alpha Brain will keep you going. I swear.
Yeah.
So it was devouring dolphins, kind of. Way too aggressively going to get biomass to refuel it.
That holodeck, like, it rings with me, like, the most out of any of them.
It's the only one I remember, too, because I was like, Jesus Christ. It's, like, such a good bad omen.
Yeah. Jeez.
Yeah. The rest of the chariots under the Hearts Timor Corporation owned started to follow suit and began to kind of kill and consume everything around them, plant, animal, or human. They turned on their, like, compatriots, basically, because you wouldn't have, like, an entirely robot army. You would have soldiers there as well, and this group of robots kind of got a universal glitch at the same time and started to consume everything around them. They would also use the converted biomass as fuel and as resources to build more machines. So the swarm of killer robots began to actively construct more killer robots and not just repair themselves and replace fallen killer robots. They were using the surplus and putting it to good use, basically.
There you go.
Yeah. Hearts Timor sent out their shutdown codes, which didn't work, prompting presumably the most desperate call to FAS technical support that has ever been recorded for quality and training purposes.
Would you like to schedule a callback? We have time slots available on Thursday, 4 days from now. Why, thank you.
Yeah
exactly. Just mashing zero to get to an actual human being. It's like, oh, Jesus fucking Christ.
Cut to Elizabeth calling Todd Farrow or whatever the fuck his name is. Yeah, Ted Farrow, and just being like, told you so.
Just like, what the fuck is going on out there, sir? I'm going to disconnect you because we don't tolerate verbal abuse to our tech support agents, okay? I hope you have a nice day. There will be a survey at the end of this call. Beep!
The sound in the background, like the fucking dolphins
getting fucking tossed into a blender. Fucking.
Farrow had told his engineers to upload. So, like, after the tech support call finally got through, they had, whatever, sent an escalation ticket or some shit. And Farrow had told his engineers to upload a new service pack to the swarm in question, basically factory resetting them to just be like, reset it to loyal. Unplug it, leave it for 10 seconds. Yeah, be loyal when you plug it back in, I promise. But they had to remind him that the encryption was specifically made to not allow that sort of thing. Their motherboards had, like, a big fucking exit-only sign soldered directly into them, and he had said, make them unhackable. And they said, even to you, and he said, especially to me. So this is exactly what he wanted.
I mean, it's you get what you pay for. Right?
Yeah, exactly. The Renegade Machine's fuel requirements went up exponentially because the swarm kept growing.
Growing.
So they used the biomass to build more machines, and then those machines need biomass. So it just was going completely out of control. Most scientists at this point had figured that Earth probably, if they didn't stop the machine swarm, had maybe a year and a half left before they could solve this problem.
Because they're reproducing exponentially, and there's only just so much blades of grass on the Earth that they could eat, right?
Like, I mean, yeah. Saying a year and a half left means, like, it was, like, a very low exponent, too. Like, if it's the exponent 2, which is the first integer for growth, it's like it's over in a matter of days. A matter of days.
It's like 2, 4, 16, and then you're like, okay.
Oh, okay. Getting out of hand.
Things are already out of control with the killer robots. So Farrow reached out to his old colleague, Elizabeth Sobeck, and told her of his mistakes. He asked for her help because obviously he still trusted her, and he didn't fire her. She had resigned when he got into the military contracting shit. He promised to use his vast fortune to support anything she needed to stop the swarm, and that was now being called the Pharaoh Plague.
Okay. Very biblical.
Yeah.
It's also a kind of a shift from the man who saved the world.
Yeah.
I guess you could say. But
the man who ate all the grass is not as catchy. She came to the conclusion that stopping the swarm would be impossible, and in secret devised Project Zero Dawn. So the goal of the project was pretty simple: shut down the swarm, no matter how long it takes, and then reseed the barren and sterile Earth with life.
So she this is
like, can't do it. Can't fucking stop them, guys. it is impossible.
By the way, this is totally spoilers. But anyways, like, this is the coolest part of the game, I find. Like, to say we can't save the world is dead. Now, what do we do about it to preserve humanity if every single person will die, every bit of biomass will be consumed? How do we rebuild the world afterwards? I think that's the... I hadn't heard that as like a as a pitch
as
before.
A premise,
in any,
yeah.
So knowing full well the swarm could never be stopped, she presented, excuse me, a fairly amoral plan to the U.S. Joint Chiefs of Staff. The JCS, with the help of Pharaoh's money, implemented Operation Enduring Victory, whose name was just a smokescreen for the huddled masses. It was totally, it was absolutely fake news, more than anything. The U.S. military was tasked only with delaying the swarm as long as possible until Project Zero Dawn could be completed.
Yeah, get in your diesel engines and enduring victory, brothers. We're going to beat these guys back. You know?
Rock flag and eagle. Just be a meat wall for them, but don't be fuel for them if you can. If you can prevent it, don't be fuel for them.
Yeah,
and that was completely impossible, and the people behind Zero Dawn knew that, but they still sent the military. It's just like, hey, guys, we can beat them. Like, I don't think the soldiers that were part of Enduring Victory even knew that they... had no chance of winning whatsoever, because with every fallen soldier was just more fuel for more machines.
Yeah, like Nagash and the undead in Warhammer lore. It's just like you fall to a necromancer, you're raised as part of his army, right?
So the military lasted 15 months.
That's pretty good. All things considered,
it's not bad. Yeah. In that time, Sobek and her team built Gaia, which was an AI that would run multiple automated terraforming factories that would. Around the world that she could keep in operation for as long as possible until the swarm was stopped. They're automated because they figured that no human beings would still be alive whatsoever, so everything is AI run at this point. Minerva was one of the sub AIs installed within Gaia, whose job it was to just brute force hack like swarm shutdown codes. So it was just like, yeah, turn this fucking thing on, we don't care how long it takes. 1-1-1-1-1. Okay, did that work? Nope. 1-1-1-2. Nope. 1-1-1-3. Like, that was the purpose of Minerva.
Yeah.
Apparently, it took 50 years to get one shutdown code working.
I mean, yeah, that's, like, realistic with today's encryption standards, right? Like, just, like, brute force does not work. The only way you get hacked is if you're... password is, I don't know, French fry lover 22 or something like that.
Yeah. That's an inside joke, because I was trying to make a password that I made like the longest password ever with like 8 numbers, French fry lover, and then a bunch of other stuff signed.
I mean, it was actually a legitimately secure password. It's just the fact that you had the words like French fry in there. He had like random strings of just garbage on either side of it, which was like really good. But because it had French fry, the password like gate was like, nope, too easy to guess. Insane 18 digit random code, and then French fry tossed in somewhere.
Well, they should have fucking told Minerva that, because she didn't try French fry at any point. just brute force hacking. Other important sub AIs for Gaia were Apollo, which was intended to teach humans of the future the mistakes of the past, which
All of these like sub AIs also have like a real human scientist assigned to it too. So like it kind of fits their personality. It's kind of cool how they did it.
They all have like a hologram modeled after a person.
Yeah, which were is, people.
It's like so you could interact with it, sort of thing.
Yeah.
Another sub AI who is actually the villain of Zero Dawn is Hades, which is like a failsafe that is just like, again, this was a completely amoral plan that no one gave a flying fuck about. They were just like, it'll work eventually. Hades is just the reset button on the planet Earth, where it's just like, if things don't work fast enough, kill every single thing on the planet and start over.
The scientist who like was programming that would just listen to death metal in his place the whole time and just like,
Mick Gordon on loop, basically.
I mean, he was like a really weird scientist. But
how do you like nuke everything and then restart? You know what I mean? Like, you kind of need... biomes to start, unless you have like, are they saying they have like a live sample of bacteria that they're gonna seed into water and hope that it succeeds, or like,
So I have that coming up afterwards.
Okay,
is like, well, whatever, we're on the subject now. The bunkers in which they developed Gaia kept like genetic seeds for people from all around the world and different plants and animals and shit. So that is the reason that there's only four animals on the planet left, is because it's just what they had left over.
Okay.
Yeah,
and you do get to visit that in game and stuff
too. Yeah, you do. You go to like several of the bunkers and you see all the hologram conversations and shit. Hephaestus was the sub AI responsible for constructing the machines that we see terraforming the environment now. Because terraforming needs resources, and those resources need to be collected. You need plants, and you need rocks, and you need minerals, and you need metals. In-game, it is explained that Gaia's AI thought the animals of Earth's past were just fucking cool. And that's why that's why the machines look like dinosaurs and mammoths and shit.
Nice, love it.
Yeah. Tigers.
I love that they built this whole game around the idea of how do we make a robotic T-Rex make sense, and they ran away. They got such good ideas and they fucking ran away with them. They got full touchdowns, and then they got to the end, they're like, fuck, we never explained the T-Rexes. And it's like, I don't know, the AI thinks they're cool.
It was like my favorite fucking thing where like Elizabeth is talking to the hologram representation of Gaia, and she's just like, well, all this stuff is so interesting. What happened to these animals? And she's like, I don't fucking know. They all went extinct. Who cares? So, but like now you get to like hunt a robot T-Rex because like some AI had the brain of a toddler and was just like thought dinosaurs were neat and
dinosaurs
ran with that.
Are neat. You gotta admit.
And told her subroutine Hephaestus to build them.
Like you said earlier, like being a cave girl fighting like AI created dinosaurs, like what other game do you get to be that?
Yeah,
I think that's so cool.
Another series that James and I really like, the Malazan series by Steven Erikson, which is a series of fantasy books. Like the most intelligent race, this like ancient race, are called the K'chain Shemal and the K'chain Naruk, who are just like super evolved dinosaurs because the meteor never came, right? And they just like,
that's awesome.
They just like super evolved, and they ended up wiping out each other via warfare too. And so like none of them are left basically by the time the books roll around, but it's just like they went extinct for a completely different reason. And then the end of the books, it's all these K'chain Naruk, who are like the slave people of the dinosaurs, end up coming back and just like want to kill everything basically. And you're just isn't good.
They communicate, like if you smell something weird, it's because they're communicating through like different scents coming out of their fates and stuff. And there's like one guy who gets to ride one around and stuff too. It's fucking
cool. We could do an entire podcast on Malazan, like for sure.
It's amazing. Yeah.
So one of my favorite like uses of like old tropes, because again, whoever like the team that put the writing together for Horizon is so good, because when the new humans, because human life had been seeded by the Gaia terraforming initiative, human life had been seeded back onto the Earth, they're like born in tubes and then like released into the wild and shit, and then they form like their own societies. When new humans began to hunt the machine animals, Hephaestus began to perceive humanity as a threat. So he started to build aggressive, dangerous machines to kill humans, which is just like, it's the best use of the AI does not understand emotion, because Hephaestus is there to rebuild the planet. And then when it perceives a threat that are humans that are supposed to re-inherit the Earth, it's just like, well, no, you can't have any of that shit. So that's why you get like the saber-toothed cats with guns on their backs. Because people were hunting the deer.
Oh, no. I don't want humans to show up and see that their world is infested with humans. I better take care of these.
Pretty much, yeah.
That's happening like relatively close to when you're starting the game, right? Because I remember like them saying like, "Oh, those robots, some of them are starting to go a little bit mad," kind of thing, right?
Well, no. So the corruption is making them go crazy because the scarabs, the corruptors, basically the scarabs are, you know, being like brought back to life by Hades.
Right.
And then they are reprogramming the animal life to go ballistic. So the ones that have like the red shit on them are reprogrammed, whereas the saber-toothed cats that served, you know, no like recycling purpose because they just destroy and eat other machines, were created by Hephaestus to defend machines against humans.
Man, dude, the lore is cool. The combat's really fun too. Like, just sliding on one knee, like underneath a T-Rex and shooting him right in his underbelly, and like getting that kill shot is like so satisfying. Or
because
being
so
a
many of
really
the machines,
sneaky player, or yeah,
so many of the machines are built to just like collect and harvest material that a lot of them have like fuel tanks just on their bodies because they'll like process and recycle material and just, like, fucking store it.
Hit them with a blaze arrow, and they go right up.
Yeah, dude, because they're just full of gasoline at this point.
Yep.
Human gas, yeah. Baby.
Pharaoh and Elizabeth, because they were important people, were saved from the swarm in bunkers, like I said. However, Pharaoh's mental health began to deteriorate because he, you know, ended the world.
Yeah. Oh, poor baby. Needs a mental health day, does he? Oh, boo-hoo.
Yeah. Oh, we got one of those, like, Amazon coffins with a touchscreen in it. You can just chill in that.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, sure. Take a personal day when we have... Yeah, yeah. 3 weeks left on the planet.
Yeah.
this guy probably made his employees at the robot warehouse wear a diaper so they wouldn't go to the bathroom during their shift. And suddenly he's like, oh, needs a mental health day? Fuck off, man.
You used to own Amazon. Now your robots ate all the Amazon forest.
Yeah,
they digested the entire thing.
Yeah.
He managed to gain security clearance for the bunker that housed the Alphas, which were the people who were in charge of maintaining Gaia and Zero Dawn for the rest of their natural lives.
Just big chested fucking dudes walking around, eye contact with everyone really aggressively. Fucking Alphas.
So, like a true Sigma, Pharaoh deleted Apollo, fearing that the knowledge of robotics and everything that had led up to this point would doom humanity a second time after it was refreshed.
Fair.
So that's the reason nobody now knows anything, is because the Apollo archive had been deleted by Pharaoh prior to humanity being seeded back
on. To protect his own ego, too. He didn't want it to be remembered in the future society.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The guy who fucked up the world. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, he's like, someone might write a hit piece about me in 11,000 years, and I can't have that happen.
In better new variety.
Yeah. New variety.
New variety. Excuse me. Yeah. Excuse me.
Horizon Zero accountability is basically what this is supposed to. This is what this ends up fucking being.
I joked about that, but I really feel that's true. Like, he's got his own ego in mind when he deleted everything.
Oh yeah, I mean 100%. He was also afraid that, like, oh, if people know how to build robots, then they're just going to build robots to kill everything ever, like, again. But.
Yeah. I made a mistake. Surely the best man in the future would make the exact same mistake that I did, because I was perfect.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Ted 2 Pharaoh 2 is going to make the same mistake again. There's going to be another one of me born. So after deleting Apollo, he called a conference, because he still did pay for the fucking project, so he still does have, like, a connection to everybody. He called a conference of all of the Alphas within the bunker that they were working in, told them what he was doing, told them what he had done, and then used his kind of, like, stolen security clearance to vent the oxygen from the bunker, suffocating and killing all of the Alphas.
Everyone.
Yeah. How he died is unknown. He likely died just in his personal bunker of old age or sickness or suicide at some point. We'll never know. And Elizabeth would also eventually die in her bunker, and how is also unknown, though she was last confirmed alive in 3066. This would be after the Pharaoh Plague had consumed all the biomass on the planet. She had added her genetics to the human seeds that it would eventually be, like, bred and sent out onto the Earth, so she does kind of end up with a clone daughter of sorts eventually.
Okay.
So that is Horizon Zero Dawn. Oh, I hope you liked it.
As the there's, like, this one holodeck where as the, like, hordes and hordes of machines are coming, and they're shooting, and for every one they take down, there's three in the way. And, like, they did such a good job of painting just the end of the world. And just by listening to this podcast, like, you already know what's happening. But whenever you start the game, you don't know the world's, like, completely ended before, because since you're in a world, how could it have completely ended? So,
yeah.
Like, about halfway through the game, when they pull out that floor on you and you realize the whole world I'm living in is a reproduction and, like, remnants of the previous world. It's just a really cool sci-fi thing that I've never seen done before, and I really like it.
It's like one of the few things that you could almost call completely unique. Like, it, like, pulls from various things, but, and I know we, like, make fun of, like, all the good stories have already been told and there's only whatever. But Horizon Zero Dawn's, like, up there with, like, okay, that's, like, a really good combination of recognizable ideas in a, like, super new way.
We meme on it a lot, the idea that everything's been done already, but, like, man, there's some fucking cool stories out there, and there's some continuously cool stories out there. This one, just the world building, and it's it's not similar in any way, and I'm sure I've recommended this on the podcast before, but the book Children of Time by Adrian Tchaikovsky, just like,
yeah, you have
the yeah. level of world building that went into that book, where you imagine this future and all of it seems completely plausible in like that one in a million, one in a billion scenarios. Just super cool to get these kind of stories, and yeah. a lot of them exist for sure.
Yeah. So I've been your host, Peter O'Donohue. You can find my work at Lore Boys Podcast on Instagram or at theloreboys.com. Of course, if you want to interact with us and suggest more things to us, jump in that Discord. The link is below on your podcast app or at loreboys.com/about. And Jimbo, got anything to shill?
Just get in the Discord. Right now, I'm looking up Horizon Zero Dawn on Steam because I never really owned it. So maybe I'll have to buy it again. And my favorite daddy right at the beginning. What's his name again?
Oh, your stepdad?
Yeah, yeah. Alloy's stepdad.
Ross.
Oh, yeah. Ross, dude. Yeah. What a man. He's the best.
Ross was my favorite of the boyfriends in Date My Dad or whatever it was called.
Oh, Dating Simulator.
Dad Dating Simulator? Yeah.
Dream Daddies.
Dream Daddies.
Oh, yes. That's it. Okay, yeah.
I'm pretty sure Ross was the big bear across the street. I'm pretty sure.
And, yeah. I related with him. He's like a husky man with a red beard who goes to the dog park all the time and enjoys grilling up meats. Yeah. Like,
you're going to make some guy out there so fucking horny, Jamie.
And it might be me. Who knows? Speaking of Dream Daddies, we have streamed it before, and we did just recently, as in a couple nights ago per recording, more than a couple nights, but within a week per release. We recorded a mailbag episode. It'll come out on the podcast stream at some point. If anybody wants to watch the VOD, it's up on Twitch. Will be for, I think, 14 days. And then I don't think we have enough people to follow us on Twitch or whatever to keep it up for longer than that. But we'll try and actually download it this time and save it somewhere in case somebody wants to see the VOD. Maybe we can put it up on YouTube where it'll live forever. But it will be on this stream at some point. If you guys want to check out our Twitch, it's twitch.tv/loreboys. We don't use it all that often. When we do, it's usually Jamie playing some cool ass game and being a little Teletubby son up in the corner. So you can check us out there. If you want to support us financially, we do have a Patreon, patreon.com/theloreboys, where you can donate the tier of your choice. We have a couple reasonable options and one super unreasonable option that only one person has ever paid for, Terry the Mad Lad. But we love him for it, and we love everybody else for paying for every tier that they've ever paid for. Now, before we close on Patreon, we do have Lore Boys Prime, of course, which we've had since for way longer. We've always appreciated our people who send into Lore Boys Prime, who are way more numerous than our patrons, to be honest, and we love them much, much more. The people we love the most are the people who are our patrons and also mail in for our Lore Boys Prime. This week, we are collecting compost. We need to power our gay picnic. As you guys know, takes a lot of juice to get a gay picnic going. You know what I mean? You need all.
Dude, every gay picnic I've gone to, I've consumed so much biomass.
Exactly. I mean, we need to get the lights going. We need to get the smoke machine going. You know, yeah. all the entire stage is lit up essentially for our gay picnic. Yeah. So it's going to be fabulous, but we do need your guys' contributions. The gayer the compost, the better. So, I mean, your chicken skins. No, thank you. Okay. No. I mean, I would love like brunch items is great. If you guys got brie,
cantaloupe rinds,
stuff like it. Cantaloupe rinds, yeah. Very good for sure. Anything that you guys could think of to send us, just send us your compost. Just put it in the mail. Write Lore Boys on it. At this point, the mailman knows where to find us.
Yeah. Honestly, when they get a soggy letter, they usually know just to drop it off here.
Yeah, even yeah,
if exactly. the, if some of that completely destroyed them. Fruit that sinks to the bottom of the sangria jug, send it over.
Yeah, yeah, yep. Exactly. Please. Yeah. Please. We're a big fan of sangria leftovers here at the Lore Boys headquarters. So yeah, send them over to Lore Boys, and we'll get you guys in return an invitation to our gay picnic, of course. It's going to be the end of the world, so do dress for it, I guess, is all we can say on that topic. We won't say how, but it will be. And I think that would constitute a Lore Boys...
Lore Boys!
Lore Boys.
Out.
Out.
Yeah.
I googled.
So wait, so Ethan.
Yeah.
Where does the phrase "razz your balls" come from?
Because asking, Jamie.
Is it shaving a friend? Shaving's a friend's balls.
Shaving a friend's balls. Just two bros shaving each other's nuts for each other. So I googled, where does razzing your balls come from? I don't know how you guys would spell razzing. I spelled it razzing.
Yeah.
Razzing your balls.
Yeah.
Google said, did you mean where does raising your balls come from? Which, no, I didn't Google. But the first hit, the featured snippet, is todayifoundout.com, where the expression bust your balls comes from. And then the only snippet on Google is, although the phrase usually accompanies laughter, it arose out of a truly painful yet common practice among beef cattle operators where they bust the bull's balls as a method of castration. Which is unpleasant. Unpleasant to say the least.
Doesn't sound friendly at all.
Sounds pretty awful. With horses? Not very friendly. Not a very friendly ending to that. With horses, you tie an elastic band around them until they fall off, basically.
Yeah. Just like you do with your skin tags, right, boys?
I have so many skin tags.
I've never done that, but it works.
I've never removed a skin tag, but I have so many skin tags. I am laid low with skin tags from the East.
Yeah.
Urban Dictionary says razzing, when someone says something stupid, you make fun of them for it, similar to roast.
Yeah, that's and then the whole thing. It's kind of like busting your balls. Just, you know, I'm just razzing your balls, bro. You just kind of, it's a combination. It's a portmanteau.
Yeah.
When I look at Ethan, he's got so many skin tags. I think there's a sale at his dermatologist. But
yeah. You want skin cells? I got skin cells.
Toyota skin tag days.
My mic, one for my headset, one for my mouse. So the mic is in the headset whenever I don't care about audio quality.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will.
All right, well, I'm ready to sound check when you guys are.
We can get you a USB splitter for your birthday, maybe.
That'll be
your next one. Yeah, mm-hmm.
That'd be actually pretty huge. That would change my life. It would. Like, I have to unplug a USB thing every single day whenever I'm doing things. So
you're right. That is hard.
It would change my life.
My name's Ethan, and I want to get Jamie a dongle, a USB splitter dongle.
My name's James, and I'm going to get a 2-to-1 splitter back, just so I can make my life harder.
Splitter back, and your pussy in your crack.
Ew.
My name is Peter, and actually, to make Jamie's life even harder, I would like to have a USB hub, a splitter, that only feeds out to one kind of looped wire that just plugs into the other side of the splitter. So every port is taken up by a wire that leads just to another port. It's completely blocked off, thus eliminating USB ports from his computer.
Requires two USB ins, but it's only a single USB port out.
Yeah.
Are you drinking tea?
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Me?
What is that? Yeah.
This is wine.
What is it? Whoa.
It's a rosé.
I think it's the wood.